has 2023 been going so far?
Okay, mixed responses out there. No responses out there. So how was your past week? Was it a good week? Was it a blessed week? It was blessed. Okay, all right. So, well, welcome. Thanks for being at church this morning. We pray that every time you come to Abundant Life Church, that you walk through the doors of this church. When you walk through, you would truly sense God's purpose over your life. And as you come in, just that you would sense the Spirit of God working, the presence of God that is here. And I pray that you would discover all that God has for you. I said this last week. I believe that Jesus has things for us in 2023. And so the calendar doesn't promise something perfectly easy or perfect and comfortable, but Jesus does have things in store for Abundant Life Church in 2023. Amen? Amen. So this morning, I want to accomplish three things. Number one, I want to give clarity. I want to speak to where the church is going to be going over the next season. So that's something that is exciting. It's something that every one of you guys can participate in. Two, I want to teach about Jesus. I want to teach his promises. I want to teach his word this morning in a way that would bring encouragement to your faith. Number three, I want to inspire you. I want you to leave this place saying, you know what? God has something in store for me this week, and I can look for that thing. I can look for his purpose. You can be inspired this morning. But before we get to that, I kind of want to talk a little bit about the mission that has always been the mission of the church. And I kind of referred to that this morning, the Great Commission, the great overwhelming mission of the church. And it's kind of daunting. But if we were to break it down specifically to the community of Hibbing, this is what the mission would be. Our mission, your mission, is to tell 16,077 people in Hibbing alone the story about Jesus. That's your mission. Our mission is to share the gospel with Jesus to 16,000 some people. Our population changed a little bit. I checked it this morning. So it used to be 16,300, but now it's 16,077. So our mission for the Hibbing community here is to share Jesus with 16,077 people. But it goes on, you know, to obviously those who are from other places. But that mission is quite overwhelming. And really, here's the hard part. And this is where our vision kind of is vital and is going to really be important to grab a hold of. The mission, where our mission field has changed in some sense, because right now those 16,000 people, 16,000 some people, many of them are indifferent towards Jesus Christ. They're apathetic in their faith. They no longer have this, you know, this idea that this is our values, our family values, and our beliefs and what we're driven by. And so not only do we have a daunting task, church, it's not just my task, but it's your task. We have a challenging assignment in front of us to share Jesus to 16,000 people, and many of them, like alarming amounts, are indifferent towards Jesus. I don't know if you've caught that trend. I don't know if you've heard me say it a lot. The mission right now is to tell a post-truth society, a post-truth city about Jesus. And all of a sudden, we begin to realize, wait, some of the things, the missions or the vision that we did in the past, you know, to tell people about Jesus, all of a sudden, it's going to look different. It's going to be more challenging. But it's not a place where we get discouraged or defeated, because if you think about it, Paul and the disciples, they had a great mission in front of them to bring the gospel, to tell the story of the cross, Jesus' resurrection. They had to tell the story of Jesus to a pre-truth world, to a pre-Christ world. Think about that. That's a challenging task, to say, hey, Jesus is true. He's real. He taught about the kingdom, and then he defeated sin and death on the cross. They had to tell people about Jesus to a pre-Christian world. And we have this task now to a post-Christian world, to a city of Hibbing, where less and less people are growing up in the church, and they're very, very indifferent about the church. They're more passionate about basketball programs than the resurrection of Jesus. And that's the mission field that you and I have, to go in this place and somehow say, you know, here's an exciting story about giving your life, you know, counting the cost, following Jesus, saying yes to him. All of a sudden in a world where it's become incredibly different in the past few years. But I give you kind of a word of encouragement. This is nothing brand new here. This is nothing that the Holy Spirit hasn't seen before. You think about, I'm going to talk about Paul, how he preached to a church, and he felt the walls. He felt like he was hitting walls that were opposing him. So there's a great encouragement today, which I think will feed some of the vision forward for the church, which we can be encouraged by the scriptures, and then we can be inspired to leave this place and say, you know what? We have a plan. We have a play. We have a written up play in the locker room called Sunday Service, and we're going to go out and deliver this plan. We're going to go out there with a passion. We're going to go out there with a boldness. We're going to go out there with a love so that people who are indifferent about Jesus are going to see something significant about you, something significant in you, church. And so lean forward, front row and back row. Lean into the vision that God has given the church. It's a vision that I believe is sustainable. It's a vision that I believe has a massive impact. It's a vision that Jesus himself walked in. It's a mission that Jesus carried out. We're going to do things the way Jesus did things. People are like, okay, how did he do things? Jesus, you know, he taught his kingdom, and he came and he rallied a group of you know, nobodies. He rallied a group around his life and his ministry. He was the rabbi. And he called those who witnessed the miracles, who witnessed Jesus, and they said, man, we want to begin to follow Jesus. So we're going to follow this biblical model. We're going to follow his model, which was this. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus take the 12 disciples and radically change their lives. This is a paraphrased version, but Jesus said this, you know, come and follow me, and I will make you into world changers. Come and follow me, and I will make you into something new. Jesus said, I have a better way of doing things than the way things are done here on earth. He was from he's from heaven, where there's a beautiful and perfect culture, and he's saying, I'm coming to show you the kingdom of heaven. I'm coming to show you God's way of doing things. And so he instilled these kingdom qualities, this governance of the kingdom, into the 12. Jesus teaches the 12 for only 3.5 years. He helped them learn love. He empowered them. He challenged them to unlearn certain things that were not beneficial. He washed their feet. He spoke about the things to come. He showed them how to heal. He gave them authority to pray. He commanded them to go anywhere and everywhere to proclaim this kingdom. And so we recognize that one falls out of Kingdom College. Judas, he quits. He gives up. But the other 11 go on. In just 30 years, they change the known world as it was known back then. They completely, radically changed the whole world. And again, what they were up against was extreme persecution, a pre-truth society, and a lot of pagan and religion, but yet they did it. And so this morning, I encourage you, we're going to follow the model of Jesus. We're going to follow a biblical model, which is this: transform people, transform communities. And I think it's so important for you to recognize in that your call to action is to simply become like Jesus. It's to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus. God wants to transform you so that you can transform your school, so that you can transform your workplace, so that you can transform this community, so that you can transform the world. And so we're taking on the model of Jesus. That's the mission. That's the mission of this community is going to be, man, how do I transform to become more like him? And I think the way we do that, part one this morning, would be to simply find rhythms and pace to become with Jesus, to be with Christ, to spend time in communion with him. So this morning, I want to encourage you with kind of the first part of the vision. The first part is we need to be with Jesus, and the second part is we need to become like Jesus. So it's quite simple to remember, but incredibly challenging to calendar, to date, to get in that rhythm of carrying out. But I believe this. I believe that when we become transformed people, we're going to transform this community. Okay, good. I heard an amen. I was kind of like, oh, you know, this is my worst nightmare. I casted the vision and there was just crickets and it's winter and it's 7 degrees and there's crickets somewhere, making noises in the audience. But church, how we do this is being with Jesus, spending time with Jesus. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is this, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 18. And we all, meaning anybody who is willing, you know, those who are hungry and humble, and we all with unveiled faces, saved minds, people who have confessed Jesus, who have been led and convicted by the Holy Spirit to call upon Jesus, to experience this transformation, this salvation, we all with unveiled faces, we get to contemplate the Lord's glory. So we get to fixate on the Lord's nature and character. So that it's just powerful that we all with unveiled faces, you can thank God that you have an unveiled face because of what the Holy Spirit has done in your life. He's unveiled the veil, the covering that was between you and God, and now you can see the Lord's goodness. So when you see the Lord's goodness, you are being transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So ultimately, the Spirit is doing this powerful transformation, this changing work. The Spirit is drawing you into the glory of God, the goodness of God on display, so that you would be transformed from glory to glory, where you could be a person that all of a sudden leaves and goes into a city that might be indifferent about Jesus. You can go into the city, and because you have this transformation that's taken place, unveiled faces, you've seen the goodness of God on display. Now, from glory to glory, you're being changed, you're being transformed by the Spirit. So that is the text today. That's the text that we will use in this idea to be with Jesus Christ, to become like him. And so it's incredibly powerful to kind of tear apart that text, even look at what is the background of the scriptures, which we'll do today. But I want to kind of just remind us, like, our goal is to be changed, to become people who are passionless, to be transformed to people who are passionate for Jesus. Our goal is to move from being an upset person to an incredibly kind person. Our goal is to move from being a foolish person to becoming a kingdom-minded, wise person. Our goal is to move from being selfish, self-centered, narcissistic, as our culture would want us to become. Our goal is to transform, to become the generosity, the ones who are consistently giving. They're caring and they're compassionate. Our goal is to move from being a fearful person to a faithful person, to move from fear to faith. Our goal is to move from being a divided, a group that might practice, you know, or might have resentment and unforgiveness. Our goal is to be transformed into a united body. So we do this by simply being with Jesus. Be with Jesus. Become like Jesus. Transform people will transform communities. You being transformed will transform your circle of influence, your community. Amen. Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to just help you discover the daily, the weekly, the seasonal rhythms to be with Jesus. Not that, I mean, so many of you guys are so faithful in your pursuit with Jesus, but I want to give you the tools how to daily be with Jesus, how to weekly, you know, commune with Jesus, and how to seasonally just like learn how to be with Jesus, to think 6 months ahead and be like, man, I got to just be with Jesus because all of a sudden I feel drained. I feel tired in the routine of life. So I want to share the rhythms to be with Jesus. And I want to kind of just help you kind of get the, here's where we're going, church. So number one, connect daily with Jesus. We use a tool here called SOAP. My daughter uses a tool here called SOAP. And she wakes me up. Well, she doesn't wake me up, but she comes and she says, Dad, it's time for SOAP. First thing in the morning. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor Zach for giving away soda pop for our kids to be with Jesus. I mean, I guess it's working because they get Italian soda drinks made up that are really nice in the back if they spend time with Jesus. Do I have to do that with adults here? Are you? I'll give you some 1919 root beer because you were with Jesus 3 days this past week. Man, I sure hope not. I hope I don't have to give a reward system to be with Jesus. But it's beautiful. Like, I was going to post a picture, but my daughter, before school, she's praying. She's got her Bible open, and she's doing SOAP. And what SOAP is SOAP is a tool, a long-time tool used in many churches to get in the Scriptures. And it gives you a way to kind of dive in. What are you to do when you're like, okay, I'm new at this. I'm trying to dive in to be with Jesus through his very word, the word of God. And so SOAP is a tool. It means this: scripture, observation, application, and prayer. What a great way to just dive into the word of God. What do you observe? Who's writing the passage? Who's writing the book? And you begin to observe the text. And we recommend just reading a chapter of the Bible, throughout the day. And that is even a lot. You know, sometimes we recommend doing 2 chapters each day, but the idea is to really dive into the promises, the commands, the truth, the scriptures in a deeper way. And so SOAP does that. It's scripture, observation, application, and prayer. It's for every age in our church, kids, youth, and adults. We're going to be focusing on what is the scripture saying. You observe the text. You observe, man, what is this, a promise of God? Is this a challenge for me this week? Even the text we just read, you know, what we're doing from the pulpit is we're observing, we're tearing it apart. What does this scripture mean? What is the Holy Spirit doing? How is the Holy Spirit making the words jump off the page? What is Jesus speaking to us? You observe it. You contemplate, you know, what the text is saying. And you say, okay, just like the scripture we read, 2 Corinthians 2:18, we observe it. When we, with unveiled faces, those who are saved, when we look and we fixate on the Lord's glory, we'll be transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. When we do that, we're observing the text. When we observe the text, we're saying, who is this written to? How does this apply to me? What is the promise that I can walk away with? And you write down, you journal, you observe, then you apply it. You say, how can I apply this to my week? How can I apply this to this moment? And you spend time in prayer. Does that make sense? SOAP, does that make sense to someone who's maybe heard of it? So we don't take bars of soap and wash out your mouth if you're being disobedient. We don't do that. SOAP is just a simple way to remind the scripture, observation, application, and prayer. Again, this is part of the vision to be with Jesus, to spend time hearing his word, to be with the word of God. And so then we finish with prayer. We pray God's word back to him. If he's revealed something to you during that time, pray about it. Confess any sin that maybe you feel like the scriptures is saying, you know, I got to confess this shortcoming. I got to confess this thing that I'm missing the mark. I've fallen short. I've missed the glory of God. Then you confess those things. And you pray the truth of the passage. Pray the truth of the passage over your life. Pray the truth of the passage over your family. Pray it over the city. Pray it over the nations. You know, I think to, you know, walk down that, that's what I do. I read the text so often. I say, how does this, what is this, you know, heart surgery that I'm called to work on? But then how does this truth work beyond me to the body of Christ, to the church, into our community, into this region, and the nations? And so you dive in to be with Jesus using the tool called soap. And what's so fun when the church pulls up, you can pull up alchibbing.org, which is our website, or you can grab a soap cart. We're all reading John at the same time. So today's scripture is John 15 from soap, and it's basically you're on a schedule, and it's not something we want to be rigid about. It's not something we want to be harsh about. But what we all want to be reading the same scripture together. Why? So that we can come back to the body and we can encourage each other. When we first launched SOAP years ago, we all came back and we're like, man, that promise in the Old Testament was so, so good. It was so, so encouraging. We were all excited about the same word. And so when the body's reading the same scriptures, the same chapters together, all of a sudden you get this Bible study happening, you know, together with the whole entire church, which is kind of the second thing, our vision. So that was our daily routine, read the Bible and pray. Spend time in God's word and pray. It will literally transform your life. If you don't get that transformation, there's a money-back guarantee on this, I promise. When you read the word of God, you become so full of hope. You become full of faith. It transforms your life. It transforms your family. It transforms the community around you. So dive into the word. Commit to the word of God each and every day. Amen. Second thing is our weekly rhythm. Our weekly rhythm to be with Jesus. You got to be with the body of Christ. The body of Christ is Jesus' body here. He's empowered us. He's breathed life into us. We are the body of Jesus. So when we want to be with Jesus, we come to be with the church. We come to be with the church on Sundays. We're with the church on Wednesdays. We're with the church, you know, maybe it's a Tuesday prayer meeting. Maybe you start a Bible study. It's being with Jesus alongside others. Communion, you know, we take communion here at the church, which is powerful. It's a time of remembrance, but it's also a time of community with one another. It's communion with one another. It's community with Jesus alongside with the body of Christ. And so vital for us in a world that has grown so individualistic. It's like rugged individualism. Like, I got this by myself. No, you don't. You don't have it by yourself. That is, it's not the biblical way. You actually need to be with the body of Christ. You need to be with the body, which is the church, is being with Jesus. Why? Because if you think about it, you know, we're in this digital world right now. It's a lonely digital age. And the body of Christ is a place where you can actually feel the presence of Jesus. You can feel the hope and the faith in the atmosphere. At least I hope you can. Like, I hope when you walk through the doors of this church, you're like, I just sense the presence of Jesus here. I sense the encouragement. I sense the stirring of God. I sense a warm, friendly, continuation of Jesus Christ and his ministry and his body within this house. And so when I come to the house, I'm being together with the saints and I'm being with Jesus. But then it goes on. You're being with Jesus when you're serving. You're doing these things unto him. You're being with Jesus. When you're at the altar, it's simply a place to be with Jesus. And so when we come to church, the goal is to be with Jesus. And to put that in your weekly rhythm, to put that in your priority, the top priority is, I got to be with Jesus. I got to be with the church. I got to be with the body of Christ. It makes a difference. And so don't let anything derail you from being with Jesus, being with his body. Don't let your busy schedules tie you up. Commit to be with Christ in his church this year. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, to the ones who are kind of falling away. They're discouraged. They're Jews, and they're in Jerusalem, and they've met so many setbacks. And this is what the author says. He says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." So let us continue to meet together to be with Jesus. And so third thing on being with Jesus is this. And this is a vision that I think is kind of unique, but it's where we need to go. It's what we need to do. It's what we need to be about if we want to be with Jesus. You know, if we think about our year, we think about, you know, maybe your busy schedule. What I want to challenge you to do is to be with Jesus, like super intentional to get away with Jesus. And I want to challenge you to calendar a recharge, a refuel, a retreat to be with Jesus. And I kind of want to explain the heart behind this is this past summer we had some people just visit the church. They're not here. They were just visiting. They told me that their pastor had challenged them about, I think, twice a year to go to a prayer retreat. It could have been a prayer and fasting retreat. It could have been a silence retreat. And then they told me their background. And they told me their background that they were in heavy, heavy, heavy addiction, that they had quite the past. And I began to think to myself, you guys are the most transformed people that I've seen, you know, from such a, you know, jail time, just hard past. But they were transformed people. And I share this because I think there's something key to unplug and get away from all of the busyness and all the noise. Mark Batterson says this quote. He says, "Change of pace, change of place equals a change of perspective." So think about that for your whole season that you've been in, you know, maybe as a busy parent. What we need to do is we need to make a schedule for the most important thing in our lives, because often the most important thing in our lives get overlooked. We miss those important things. And things that are like number 14 in the important priority list, somehow they sneak above, you know, spending time with Jesus, hearing his voice, getting away with him. Sometimes number 14 gets in the way of your marriage. Things that matter most, somehow we keep pushing down, you know, to the bottom of the list. And so change of pace, change of place, change of perspective. My heart, my hope for you is that you would be so intentional to schedule a time where you can minimum be with Jesus for 4 hours. That you could go to, maybe it's a quiet resort, maybe you could go to a Lake Geneva Bible camp, but go to a place where you know that you can go not to do anything other than be with Jesus. And a minimum, you know, maybe 24 hours, but I think a minimum 4 hours. Unplug from social media. Unplug from screens. You know, just get alone with Jesus. Pray, even fast, and make that announcement. God, you are more important to me than anything else. God, I want to fast, and I hunger more for you than anything else. Take time, hear from Jesus, write down what he's saying to you, journal what the Lord says. So I want to kind of break this down because for me, like, you know, some of you are like, well, you're a pastor and you can slip away. But the truth is I'm kind of busy and I have so many demands in my life. But, you know, even I have to take time and I have to say, I have to slip away from all the noise, all the busyness, and I need to go and I need to just be with Jesus. I need to recharge. I need to refuel for the season that's ahead. I went to a prayer and fasting retreat this past fall, and it was the best prayer and fasting retreat I've ever been to. You're like, that sounds crazy. You don't get to eat food. But just the amount that the Lord recharged my soul, like leaving the stress and the busyness, the pressure, the schedule, and all that life is pulling us into. I took time in September, and I went, and I wanted to be with Jesus. I wanted to spend more time with him, to contemplate his glory, to look to his glory, and I wanted to be changed. And from that day, I can recall just like, man, I'm just excited about Jesus. I'm excited about what he has in store. I was so pumped up. And I was just, you know, I could just tell that that was a recharge I needed for the past few months. And it was powerful and it was awesome. And our whole staff, we just loved it. Our team, pastoral team. Then now I'm kind of coming to this point where it's like, okay, like how long has it been since I've just calendared that time to be with Jesus? I'm not saying go do your hobby. You know, I'm not saying that I'm going to go, you know, or that we should go carry out all the fun things, the busyness. I'm not talking about hobbies. I'm talking about being with Jesus. So for me, I'm not talking about going on a long run in the woods. I'm talking about being with Jesus. And I'm telling you, the amount of drain and strain that's on all of us, it's so huge. And we don't even realize it because we're in it. We have blind spots. We're missing the moments, the seasonal calendared dates to be with Jesus. And so can you do it? I mean, I think we're going to have to challenge each other in this. I think we're going to have to say, can I challenge you to go and spend time to maybe go in a tent and pray and be with Jesus? Or you go and take time to get away. I think at minimum, it has to be over 20 miles. I think if you're here and you're like, I'm going to practice what Pastor Dan said. I'm going to take this weekend. I'm going to try to hear from God. I'm going to go, you know, to a quiet room in my house. I think it's an intentional drive to a place with a different pace and a different place. It's going to challenge you and it's going to help you see with a different perspective. And so I believe that's for the church. I believe this is vision that we have got to dive into. We got to be with Jesus daily. We got to be with Jesus weekly with the body of Christ. And we need to be with Jesus every season, we're just recharging with Jesus. So it's we're not neglecting the daily routines with being with Christ. We're not neglecting, you know, praying without ceasing every day. But church, we're challenging you guys. If you want to change your perspective, you absolutely have to unplug from all the busyness and ask to hear from Jesus. You know, one thing I do each and every January is I ask for a scripture for the upcoming year. It's like, God, what is the scripture you want me to memorize, the scripture that is just going to be for that year? And every year he's given me a scripture. And I think when you take time and you get away, ask God, will you speak to me? Will you give me a scripture? Will you give me a word? Will you give me a promise to stand on for this upcoming year? Amen. Can you guys do that? Are you overwhelmed by that? I sense we're overwhelmed by this. We're overwhelmed. The church, you're like, we have homework. We have a homework assignment. Oh my goodness. I thought it was just the pastor that had a homework assignment. No, you guys all have homework assignments, something to take away. And that something is being with Jesus. Being with Jesus. Being in his presence. Allowing his word to speak to you. Allowing his presence to fill you. It's so encouraging to take time to be with Jesus. So my prayer is that you would be with Jesus. You know, I want to kind of just share a quick context of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 18. It's Paul's unmasked letter. So it's like, it's kind of like, it's interesting he slips in this with unveiled faces because he's being so real to the church of Corinth. He's not challenging them with all the moral and the issue, you know, all the things that 1 Corinthians, the epistle, directly talks about. He moves into this, life's hard. It's a struggle. He has three struggles that he's facing, and we see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2, and 3, and the struggles were this. He's dealing with personal pressure. He's dealing with all the false ministries that are going on around him. He's dealing with the very same thing that we're dealing with, the lack of response to the gospel. And so we see that in chapter 4. It's like he's saying there's a veil that are over these people. There's a veil over their hearts, and he's just so frustrated with the walls that he's hitting. And I think it's really powerful that he encourages himself in the Lord. He encourages the church to simply be mindful of this, to allow the glory of God, the light of God to burst forth into us in a way that all of a sudden we begin to remember what it's all about. We have this restored, kind of this renewed thought that, wait a second, like when we're facing walls, when we're facing pressure or temptation, when we're facing kind of the distractions that are going on in our lives, when we're facing the wall and we feel discouraged, what do we need to do? We need to come back with unveiled faces and contemplate the Lord's goodness on display. Daily, we need to allow God's goodness to move into our lives, move into the situations. And so together as a church and individually, how can we contemplate the Lord's glory together and say, it's possible? Like, we have this. We can keep looking to Jesus. Like, we can look at all of his goodness on display, and we have a great hope. And so that's what it's all about. It's beholding Jesus. It's not about behaving. It's not about having a better behavior. It's simply beholding Jesus each day, day after day. I want to read scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. And this is after Paul's, I'm trying to kind of just skip and get you to a place where you can see that Paul's inviting this hope. And so he's saying, I've had the struggle. There's people who are not responding to the gospel, but this scripture, Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, or sorry, 5 and 6. For God, who said, let the light shine out of the darkness, has made light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So think about that. Think about this scripture. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. It's each and every day, look into the face of Jesus. Look to the face of Jesus. We could go all the way back to Christmas. We look to the face of Jesus. We look to the Bethlehem face. We look to Jesus and we see the glory of God displayed in this. The daring love of God. We see Jesus, we see his face as a 12-year-old, going to the temple. We see a face of someone that has a fire ahead of his physical years on display for all of us to see. We go to the carpenter face and we see the goodness of God on display, that he cares about each and every detail of our lives. We go to the face of Jesus when he leaves the Mount of Transfiguration. We see him come down, and we see the face of him casting out demons and darkness. We see the glory of God. We see his face, as Paul reminds us, look to the face of Jesus. Each and every day, be with Jesus. Look to his face, and you'll see that his face is the one that has the authority and the confidence to drive out darkness. We see the cleansing of the temple. We see that Jesus has the face of judgment. We see that Jesus has the face of compassion to say, you got to get rid of this stuff. We look to the face of Jesus when he's holding kids, and we see the glory of God displayed in the form of tenderness. We see at the cross, and this is vital, we see the glory of God displayed with the power and the love of God. We see that displayed. And so I'm telling you, church, day in and day out, what we are looking for with unveiled faces is to contemplate the face of Jesus, to contemplate the Lord's glory and what happens in that. When you look to the cross, you look to the face of Jesus. With an unveiled face, you see the love and the power manifested. You see the glory of God in a powerful way. This is why it's vital, not for us on Sunday, just on Sundays, to see the face of Jesus, but each and every day to see the face of Jesus, the glory of God on display, because it motivates us. It builds faith. It builds a confidence that we have a God that backs us. And we begin to see his face, and we are transformed to look like him. And so we look to the resurrection. With an unveiled face, we contemplate the glory of the resurrection. We see the face of triumph. We see the face of victory. We see the face of an undefeated Messiah. We look to his glory, and we recognize that that strength can be ours because we look to his face each and every day. We're going to spend time being with Jesus. We recognize that he too is interceding at the right hand of the Father. We see his face with a face of concern and care for the world, looking down and interceding for us. We see the face of Jesus. Today I was reading Revelation, and we see the glory of God on display with an unveiled face. We see a face that's coming with power and glory. And so I'm going to read it again, 2 Corinthians 2:8. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Transformed people. Transform people. Transform cities. Transform people. People who look with an unveiled face can transform situations. They can transform hopelessness. They can transform places that are discouraging. And so would you stand this morning as we conclude? Powerful, powerful verses for us to examine. I want to invite you today. Maybe you feel here, or you feel like you're here today, and you feel distant from God. Maybe you feel like there is something in between you and him. Maybe you feel like there's a veil that is still there. The Bible says that Jesus came to remove that veil. He came to remove the thing that was in the way between us and him. Jesus came as an example. Jesus came to reveal the goodness and the glory of God. And all we have to do is by faith, simply trust in Jesus that he removes the veil. He removes the thing that is distant between us and him. That's the power of the gospel. That's what the cross did, is it removed the veil. And so when Paul's saying they have veils over their face, It's something that the Spirit is trying to remove so that we can have this moment of change and transformation where it's like this veil is lifted off. That veil obviously is many different things, but for some of us here today, that veil is sin. That veil is a view of yourself that is so damaged because the enemy has caused you to feel this sense of this is who you are, you're stuck, and you're never going to change, you're never going to transform. And so today, you can simply, by this prayer and this confession to Jesus, you can say, God, can you forgive me of my sins? Can you soften my heart? Can you remove the veil that's in between you and me so that we can be in relationship together, that I can walk with you, that I can see, and I can see your glory, I can see your goodness on display. If you're here today and you want to have a relationship with Jesus, you want nothing in between you and him. You want to be motivated. You want to be, in relationship with him. All you have to do is take that moment and say, God, would you remove the veil? Would you remove the thing that's separating me from you? And that work is by the cross. That work is by simply trusting in Jesus, saying yes to him. And so you think about the cross. You think about the cross. God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. He took all your sins. He took all your shame. He took all your doubt. He took all the darkness that was in you, and he removed it. He canceled it. He paid for it. It's completely covered by Jesus Christ. And so when you come to this revelation, the revelation, wow, like he did it all. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's for you. You believe in that. You trust in that. All of a sudden, that veil, that confusion, and that misunderstanding that, life is this and that veil comes off. And you get to be in right relationship with the Father. If you want to go to that place today, I invite you to respond to the cross, to respond to Jesus. With nobody looking around, kind of just in a place of privacy, you're here today, you just say, I want to be in right relationship with God. I want to know Jesus. I want to be in this place where I can see him clearly. I can have a close relationship with him. You're here. I want to just invite you to say yes to Jesus, to to put your trust in him, to put your trust in his life, that he died on the cross, he rose again, he died for your sins so that you could be in right relationship with Father. If you want to be in right relationship with God, I want you just as an outward, maybe an outward response, I want to be in right relationship with God. I don't want anything in between me and the Father. If you're here today and that's you, you can slip up your hand and you can respond. Maybe you're just, I need this. I'm tired of going through these places of discouragement. I want to have a relationship with Jesus. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else this morning? Awesome. Awesome. Here's where the Holy Spirit does the removing of the unveil. I just sense his love and his power unveiling, taking away that thing that's in between you and the Father. I'm going to pray with you this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for doing a powerful work in hearts this morning. God, that there's those that just want to move closer to you. And the Holy Spirit's been drawing them into this place with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for drawing them to Jesus. Jesus, thank you for giving us the ability to come with nothing in between us into a relationship with the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your life. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross, that we can be in right relationship with God the Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd seal this moment. I pray that you'd flood the ones that have responded, those that want to respond. I pray that you would flood them, God, with this love and this power, God, that they're transformed, that they're renewed, God, that there's no veil in between them, that they can now see, God, that they can now experience, that they can now be in the glory of God. I thank you for their salvation. I thank you, God, for your saving work. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing a great work in their heart. I pray that it would be sealed, that they would know that they are forgiven, God, that they are cleansed from any sin, anything that would separate them from you, God, that they are now in right relationship with you because of your grace. I thank you, Lord. Wrap your arms around them. Encourage them with your word and your promises. Let them, God, grow in you. And I pray for this church. God, I pray a blessing. I pray, God, that we each and every day, God, would spend time, God, just seeking you, God, being with you, fixating on your goodness on display and being changed and being transformed from glory to glory by the power of the Lord with his Spirit working in them, Lord. I pray that we transform. God, I pray that we change. And in that, God, we change the circles of influence that we're in and the community that we're in. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.